What's up, everybody, and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. I am your host today, Imran Khan, and joining me is the one, the only, the third, Fran Mirabella FM3 underscore himself. How you doing, Fran?
Good morning, everybody. By the way, you're the first person, I think, to ever say the third Fran Mirabella, and I actually really like it.
You are.
It's normally at the end. Fran Mirabella the third.
It sounds
third...
classier at the end, but I think like it adds some like gravitas at like the beginning.
It does. It's like a lead up. The third what? Oh, yeah. The third Fran.
You're like it's like Rogue Legacy of France.
Fran, you remember that time I told the story on a show where like you actually were supposed to be like the fifth or something, and you like we called you to verify
into a
that
deep
story.
Explanation.
Yeah. But instead, you were like, "No, that story's not true." Then you went into an explanation where it was true. Where it was
it
just
was
like
not...
for no reason. You were like, that story's not true. It is true.
It was that I could have
it was.
Been. You guys were saying I was.
No. I'm saying you been. I said
we had
you
one
could
skip.
Have been. I said you could have been.
It was I know, great grandpa Steve, man. You just why? Or actually I guess it was his dad, Francesco. Why did Francesco screw the whole thing up? I don't know.
Really? That's what I've been asking myself the entire time.
Anyway. Great to be back. Was it just last week?
Yeah, we have done three Imran shows in a row, counting this one.
That's right.
And I, for one, love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are
people
fun
are just
shows.
Like, people are going crazy. They just want more Imran, and we're happy to deliver.
Yeah.
And there's the lie.
No, plenty of people.
I'm kidding.
Trust me. Plenty of people. Oh, God.
What was that, Fran?
I was joking. I said plenty of people hate it. Don't you read the comments?
Oh, I thought you were saying, hey, Imran, that is a really good PS I Love You sweater, a show hosted by the two Kings of Halloween candidates, Blessing Ottaway Jr. and Greg Miller.
Oh, I know. That's going to be a big
That's what I thought he said, too.
Yeah, I thought I heard that. But honestly, Fran, it's a little hot. It's a little hot right here in the sweater.
It's happening now, this whole...
So maybe I'll take the sweater off, and we'll see what's underneath.
This is a lot of things.
God, I hope it's a
here.
Shirt.
Now, I got a lead up to what we don't know what's about to happen exactly.
Oh, I mean, that's very clear. Wow.
Is this is your decision for the King of Halloween?
How would this require some thinking?
The Superman logo, I think, associated well with the actual King of Halloween, Greg Miller.
Wow.
I think Blessing Ottaway Jr., Pretender to the Throne, didn't even know the Halloween colors.
Pretender to the
like,
Throne.
You can put lipstick on a pig. That doesn't make it.
Oh, my God. I'll be honest. I didn't expect this. I thought, you're a bit of a contrarian, Imran, if you didn't hear. And so I thought you were going to just back Blessing, regardless of whatever, right? And I haven't even seen all the facts, but you're Greg Miller.
There are moments in the history, Fran, where you have to take a stand, and this is one of them.
This is a very important moment in 2020, Imran. I'm glad that you cleared that up.
What about you, Fran? You have Halloween colors behind you. Who are you supporting in this civil war of Halloween?
Well, I mean, I came to pitch myself, but that'd be foolhardy.
You don't have the jacket. You need the jacket if you're going to...
The king of Halloween. I'm not even the jester of Halloween. Like, I have very little to offer. I'm the laziest Halloween costumer. I'm just always last minute. But if I ever do plan ahead, it's like, it's an ordeal. And then you guys know that about me by now. It's like, you're either all in beyond like, whoa, dude, like back off. Or like, would you put some effort in? It's like one of the two.
So that did not answer that question at all.
I know.
For him.
I'm stalling.
That was a smooth catch. I was going to let him go. I was going to be like, wow, that's really impressive. He doesn't try. I get it.
Very simple fact here. I mean, it all started right with, as you said, like Blessing not knowing the colors. And I'd heard that, and then we had talked about that pre-show. I'm like, did that really happen? I don't understand how somebody couldn't come up with orange even. How could you, Blessing? It's like, dude, what are the colors of Halloween? Why would orange not come up into the conversation? I could forgive, like, if you said green and orange or purple and orange. Even that a little off, but like, okay, it's a different take. But the fact that it was not orange and anything, I got to go with Greg Miller, man. So
there we go.
It's unanimous.
Yeah. This Games Daily, our host crew, believes Greg Miller is the true king of Halloween.
Does Kevin believe that?
I'm shocked he's not calling. Yeah, I mean, I've always believed it was Greg. That's clear to everyone.
Style, so he might have been calling. Okay,
yeah, check your phone. No calls? I'm shocked. Nah, wow, he must not listen. What a dick.
Maybe Greg's busy on other stuff this morning. Yeah.
I mean, being king is not easy. You have a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a lot of responsibilities here today, Fran. We're talking about Cyberpunk 2077 being delayed a little bit. Devil May Cry 5 causing a schism between Xboxes. Assassin's Creed is coming to Netflix and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members are above get to write in, and silver members are above get the show ad-free, along with the exclusive daily post-show. Fran, we got a little bit of housekeeping. Donktober, episode 3, with the not King of Halloween, but still pretty good, Blessing Adelaide Jr. And Barrett is available right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Finale to it all is going down this Saturday on Halloween. I mean, obviously, he can't be King of Halloween. He's doing this too. Like, makes sense. And they have dubbed it Donk-o-ween. So tune in to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 12 p.m. Pacific on Saturday. PS I Love You XOXO has hands-on with the PS5. Like, literally, it's hands-on. They can't do anything with the console on yet. So it is literally, like, they're talking a little bit about Astrobot and the controller and the ginormous console itself. There's embargoes. Go to kindoffunny.com/PS5. They have 5 different PS5 hands-on videos, plus the PS I Love You bomber jacket that has the same thing as that sweater I just threw somewhere.
Yep.
And, like, that's up on kindoffunny.com/store. All right, what were you saying, Fran?
Sorry, I forgot it was housekeeping. Wait. I thought you were going off on the whole, like, you know, they can't use the console,
the jacket's actually a really big deal. We've been talking about this being up for a while. It's already sold out in 2 sizes, so good. So be quick. Be quick.
What's left? Extra small?
No. Small, medium,
Do you know which
large.
Sizes are left?
Yeah, I'm saying right now, but you're talking over me. Small, medium, large. There you go. Maybe extra large? So it's just double XL and triple XL.
I need a bug.
We've sold out in many sizes except for small, medium, large.
I didn't say all sizes. Wait, you think if I cut off 2 of your fingers, would you say I cut off many of your fingers?
This is like, it's a limited time deal. There's not many left.
I'm just saying, this one's going to go fast. We've been talking about it. We thought it was going to come out 2 months ago. But you know, if you watch the shows, maybe you'd know. All right?
Whoa, there it is.
You know what, Kevin, what is your star deficit right now? Like, how many more stars do you need to
get? I'm 3 stars away, and I'm itching for them, man. I'm itching for them.
Well, you're not going to earn any stars from me talking like that.
I don't want any stars from you. All right. I don't you're want not any stars get any. From you.
Okay.
Good.
Here's what I'm going to do, Kevin. You will get 1 star right now, and assuming this show does not crash into a wall, you get 1 star at the end. The other one has to be from Fran. You have to convince Fran in this show to give you your final star.
I'm going to be honest. This is too much work.
See, he doesn't even want to make an effort.
Fran, I'm being honest. I'm being honest. And real small. Look at me.
You're being something. It's
I'm
not
tiny.
Wait, you will get the 1 star right now, regardless. We'll see about the other ones.
Well, I mean, no. You don't have to just give me a star. I have to earn it.
No, I've given it to you because you came in clutch on the PS I Love You jacket explanation. And yeah. I think you were right about the sizes thing. But the Thank several sizes being out. Yeah.
Let's see. All right. I'm going to hide this.
Today, we're brought to you by our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, Mohammed, and Blackjack. Yeah. And we're also brought to you by Amazon Alexa, Upstart, and Hims. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen! Don't do my noises!
So we got breaking news. Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed a little less than a month.
What?
So they tweeted this out just now. Hey everyone, today we've decided to move the release date of Cyberpunk 2077 by 21 days. The new release date is December 10th. Most likely, there are many emotions and questions in your heads. So first and foremost, please accept our humble apologies. The biggest challenge for us right now is shipping the game on current gen, next gen, and PC at the same time, which requires us to prepare and test 9 versions of it, Xbox One X compatibility on Xbox Series SX, PS4 Pro compatibility on PS5, PC Stadia, while working from home. Since Cyberpunk 2077 has evolved towards almost being a next-gen title somewhere along the way, we need to make sure everything works well and every version runs smoothly. We're aware it might seem unrealistic when someone says that 21 days can make any difference in such a massive and complex game, but they really do. Some of you might also be wondering what these words mean in light of us saying we achieved our Gold Master some time ago. Passing certification or going gold means the game is ready, can be completed, and has all the content in it. But it doesn't mean we stop working on it and raise the quality or in raising the quality bar. On the contrary, this is the time where many improvements are being made, which will then be distributed via a day zero patch. This is the time period we undercalculated. We feel that we have an amazing game in our hands and are willing to make every decision, even the hardest ones, if it ultimately leads to you getting a video game you'll fall in love with. So from Adam Badowski and Marcus Owinski at CD Projekt Red. So yeah, 21 days. What do you think, Fran? You bummed?
This doesn't surprise me in the least. And like, I mean, honestly, I really don't think it's a big deal. I know a ton of people are groaning as I say that, like, what? Like, this is like how many delays? Like how many? It's like, for some people, this is probably feeling unacceptable because they're so excited about the next gen consoles. It came right at a time you could pick those up, or just period. You're kind of like, we've been waiting for a really big game drop for a while, a lot of people, right? And So people were stoked, but this company is famous for being perfectionists, you know, and that's what I hear when I read this. They're staring down the barrel of the new next gen consoles in particular, and probably, which we always, I feel like, see with their games, the optimizations. And this has been such a labor of love, and they're just like, guys, we have to smooth out some frame rate. We've got to get these next-gen consoles closer to being more than just like a frame rate improvement versus, because that's what you're dealing with too, right? It's a PS4, Xbox One version, kind of slightly amped up. And it sounds to me like they want to try a few more things. I think that's great, especially if you plan to play in those consoles. These 21 days are going to make a huge difference for you versus, we're going to talk about it later, God of War is going to work on PS5. Do you want Cyberpunk like that, where it's a PS4 game that works a little better, or do you want some next-gen optimizations?
Yeah, I...
Well, how do you feel?
Me personally, it doesn't super matter. Like, we're both used to playing games that are just incomplete. Like, that's just the reality of it. So... I don't think this matters too much to me. I am somewhat relieved that, like, oh, thank God this is out of that November, like, push. Because that is literally, there's like five games that we are going to have to talk about that week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny that it's selfish on that front. There is, I mean, I'm going to be playing, I have to, and I'm going to be playing Destiny on November 10th. But somebody was, Tim was asking me about Cyberpunk and all that, and I was like, dude, I'm going to check it out, but what am I supposed to do? I would be like grinding for a raid. So selfishly, I'm like, yeah, let's go. Give me a month to like catch up on a lot of stuff.
So Mizuki writes in and says, hey there, KF crew. Cyberpunk has been delayed yet again, in spite of going gold recently. CD Projekt, is it Projekt Red or Project Red? Because I have been told it is Projekt Red.
I mean, if you're Polish, but it's probably not red either. It's probably slightly accented.
There's only Project. So many ways you can get red.
CD Projekt Red.
Projekt Red. In Soviet Russia, Projekt Red.
In Polska.
See, I'm going to go with Projekt Red because I have been told people from CDPR that it is Projekt Red.
Well, yeah, of course, if it's in... my point is a lot of words would be slightly different, I think.
Okay. CD Projekt Red mentioned in their announcement this has to do with issues getting the day zero patch for the game ready. My question is, how bad do some of the bugs and other technical issues need to be to push release date back when discs are already being printed? Thanks for all that you do. So this is a thing that not a lot of people know about, of like what really going gold means. And they explain a little bit in the actual like text explanation they gave. But it varies from studio to studio. All it really means is they have a master disc printed, and that's what goes in the cases, and that they have been certified by console manufacturers. That doesn't mean necessarily the game is playable, that it is like you can put that disc in and it works fine. There's a lot of massaging.
It should normally. I know what you're saying, but how many games do you think go gold that are not actually that playable?
There, I know,
like they need a day one patch to even work. there I think was that's a lot a, less rare than the ones that are like, well, it's overall.
I feel like we get a certain a decent amount of embargoes that are like, hey, like that you need like the day one patch is going to fix these major things.
Sure.
Yes. And it's like, all right.
But those are you. But it still was fine. It's just they don't. They know that they can fix some of these like minor issues normally.
I can't remember what it was. I think it was a Ghost Recon, but like honestly, I'm not sure. But there was a Ubisoft game earlier this gen that straight up just the game wasn't done. If you tried to launch it just on a disc pre-patch, it just wouldn't work.
Yeah. Did Skyrim?
I mean, Skyrim was in the days of like the 10 meg patch limits. I don't think that was the case. Mm. But yeah, I do not remember which game it was, but there have been games that straight up just don't work.
Yeah, like, that is true.
I want to say Borderlands is one of them too.
Very well could be. My point was the majority are normally, they're playable, they're ready to go, but like optimization-wise or there's some menu bug or, and they're like, yeah, we're just going to fix that at the 30 days out. Like basically stuff that, you know, when you are producing and hitting your landmarks, you have stuff that the team says, look, that's going to be easy to just do a, you know, a day one patch or whatever to fix. Yeah. But it is odd to have, in other words, maybe put it more simply, sure, everybody has internet now for the most part, but it is odd to put something on a disc and go gold and be like, you have to connect to the internet to get this to work. That's very rare is all I'm saying.
It's rare, but it's not like, it's not unlikely, especially this coming generation where like, so they are... This past generation, they assumed you had an internet connection. It's going to get much more that direction this next one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how this game is going to play just if you put a disc in, and I'm curious. Like, part of me is curious, like, what does that look like?
Test it out before.
Yeah, but like, also you need a disc for that, which is not what I'm going to do with Cyberpunk, so.
Well, yeah, but we also got these 3 weeks delay, and I mean, I think the other unsaid part is, you know, we have heard a lot about how hard the team has been working, has been asked to work a lot of extra hours. And so I think there's maybe that's a narrative here as well.
It's an extra 3 weeks of crunch, which is not great.
There's both, though. It's both sides. It's, well, we don't need you to crunch as much with the pressure of perfection for November 10th. On the other hand, you will not be done in taking your holidays until December 10th. So I don't know. I look at the glass half full on that one, to be honest. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that... Imagine how hard you've already been working, and then the next gen thing you decide to release. There's people just like salivating to do a little more. Engineers are especially that way, you know, and getting even two more weeks is going to make them a lot happier, I think.
I will say, in all my years of reporting on the game industry and all that, like, I've never seen a situation where delay means less crunch and more time to like really work on it. What it usually means is that the crunch is stretched out.
That's fair.
Don't know that that's going to be true here, but like historically, every time I've talked to someone who's like, oh yeah, you guys got a delay, that I guess means a little bit more time. It's like, no, that means just more time sleeping at the desks. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying that it doesn't extend crunch, but I'm saying there is a glass half full portion of it, you know?
I mean, hopefully that is the case, but you never
trust
know.
Me. When... Crunch is one of the worst things about the industry, and it's a hard topic to hear about every time. So, you know, I'm not pushing in any other direction. Like, good for them. You know, they got three extra weeks to chill and finish it up. But it just was worth pointing out that I think there's always people with a creative vision that are very happy to have the opportunity. But yeah, there's a ton of people that are, you're right, like, oh God, please. I just want to be done with this so I can like get some rest.
If I kind of wonder if like, this is, again, a selfish thought, but, like, if they're going to still release, give the game reviewers around the same time and, like, just do intermittent patches for them, so, like, we still have more time to play it before, like, just because this is going to be such a massive game, and, like you said, we were talking to Tim about, like, what games are we going to be playing in the next couple of months, and, like, playing out coverage, basically, and I was like, I don't know if Cyberpunk is going to be one of those games I want to rush through, but we'll see. Fran, recently, every time we're on the show, we tend to get in the topic of
it's like
the Xbox Series X versus the Series S and what that tangible differences between those are going to be. And you've been of the argument that we're going to see some pretty major differences at some point. Like, that smaller box is not going to be necessarily going to keep up.
Yeah, again, I bring it up on every show. It's like, one's $300 and one is $500. There's going to be a difference.
It turns out we're going to get...
seeing them.
we're seeing one of that difference or one of those differences really early. Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition will not support ray tracing on Xbox Series S, from Adam Brankhurst at IGN. While Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition will be enhanced in many ways on Series X and Series S, only the Series X will support ray tracing. Announced by Capcom, both versions will still support high frame rates up to 120 frames per second, enhanced 3D audio, reduced loading times, a legendary Dark Knight difficulty, turbo mode, and a playable Virgil. Ray tracing, which is possible on the Series S, will be available for DMC5 Special Edition on Series X as a downloadable title update. And even though it will not be supported on Series S, Capcom did leave a bit of hope for the future, stating that it is just now scratching the surface of what they can do, and that it is eager to continue exploring the full capabilities of the Series X/S in the future. So while Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition will be the same in most cases on next-gen consoles, only the Series X and the PS5 edition will support 4K and ray tracing. DMC5 Special Edition will be available at the launch of Xbox Series XS and PS5, and even though PS4 and Xbox One users won't get many of the upgrades, PC as well, they will still be able to get to play as Virgil via paid DLC. So, this to me sounds like they have run into a GPU overhead issue with the ray tracing. Because we do know the difference between the X and the S is a GPU one. They have the same processor, which is why you get like the higher frame rate on both versions of those. But the GPU itself is different.
Yeah. So it sounds like the processor is slightly underclocked. It's only a 0.2 difference in the gigahertz. But I mean, underclocking is still every cycle there's still less. But that's, I agree with you. The GPU is the biggest difference. You know, a lot less RAM and some slight differences there. And well, quite a bit difference in raw computing power.
It seems like we're seeing this here. It's hard to tell based on this one case issue if this is just a Capcom thing or this is an everyone thing.
It's just so early, you know, and to be fair, like when I look at this, even though I've harped on the potential for this arriving, it's literally, this is a launch game and they've, you know, you only have the hardware available for so long. And like, I think it's very likely that if they want to put the work in, like especially running at 60, because 120 is really impressive. Like DMC5 looks great. And for that to be 120 on both is awesome. So it's possible that they really wanted to maintain that parity instead of, in other words, and this is a thing I keep bringing up. It's like, well, what about at 60? You know, can you guys figure out ray tracing at 60? Would that solve the problem?
It is worth noting that like on the PS5 and the Series X, you can't do 120 FPS and ray tracing. So I might be wrong. There was like a table of like you can only do like 1080p or 4K and ray trace or 4K and 60, or you're wrong, can get like correct me on this, but there's a number of like trade-offs you have to make depending on what mode you choose, basically.
You mean in this game?
Yes, in the special edition.
Oh yeah, sure. Okay. And so also even on X.
Yes.
Oh, so actually it may not support 120 and ray tracing on X either, which by the way would make a lot of sense to me there even. I'd be like, well, yeah, it's pushing a lot. So you're saying possibly, and we should check.
I forget the exact trade-offs. You're wrong. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong can tell me. But I believe you can't do, basically you can't have a 4K 120 FPS ray tracing version of this game. Straight up. Like they are adding Virgil to the PC version, but they're not adding anything else to the PC version. So, like, the special edition is only coming to Xbox One and PS5.
Mm-hmm.
So, Charles Jacobson writes in and says, hey, Infram, is this some of the initial signs there'll be more differences between the Xbox Series S and X versus the games as times go on? And he adds hashtag gold stars for Kevin. We already covered that, so we're good.
Yeah, I mean, I still defer to what I was saying, and just because you added that hashtag, it's not going to happen right now. but as I've been saying, I mean, it's just early, so I defer to that. It's just so early. So to judge, even though you can go way back to when I was sort of like harping on the like, look, there's going to be differences. It's not going to be able to be the exact version. It just happens to be at 2K, and that's the only difference. That being said, it's just so early. And so I think, yes, you're starting... We are now seeing the evidence that, of course, there's less power in the S, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that they can't get to some of these features. And again, like we games like Destiny are going to run at 1080p 60 right now on Xbox Series S. That doesn't mean they can't get to 2K. And what happened if this game was at 1080p instead of 2K or whatever? So I just think it's like early. It's probably going to take a year before we really start seeing, all right, at the beginnings. Because remember, to even get to something like God of War, utilizing PlayStation 4 in the way that it did, that was one of the first games you're like, holy crap, like, this looks better than like most PC games, even though it was running at 30. And so once they really start coding to the metal, as they say, and getting in there, it's, yeah, I mean, it's just too early to say.
Mm-hmm. Quick question. Are we switching over and calling 2K? What is that? That's
1440.
Okay, 14. Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Yeah. So like that.
Yeah, 1440.
2K with DLSS.
Yep, just wanted to check.
I think that's good. I saw there was a video from Digital Foundry yesterday on Series X backwards compatibility. And there's a thing, I forget who did it. I think it was Ledbetter. But he was saying resolution is quickly becoming a thing that does not matter in comparisons. That with DLSS and like upscaling in general has become so good that pixel counting is not really a thing people care about anymore. And I'm starting to come around to that idea of, yeah, if you can do really good 2K that looks like 4K, using your horsepower on native 4K is almost a waste. And I'm kind of like, that's what I'm looking forward to in terms of like the Series S versus X like breakdown as stuff goes on. It's like, how do they actually use that GPU power? And is it going to be trade-offs like the ray tracing, or is it just going to be a resolution issue as time goes on?
Yeah, and that's why I keep bringing up where it's like, I almost by default, because of what you're saying, is if you can get a really solid upscale or you're, you know, remember, I don't think these cards, I mean, they don't. DLSS is actually NVIDIA tech, right? So,
or the equivalent, because Sony has their like own technology, right? Like they their own thing, and Microsoft has their own as well. But like, I think we all just use DLSS as like shorthand.
But that is like, DLSS is really impressive. In fact, a day from now, tomorrow, is the new AMD GPU announcement. So this may be a year-round too, but I forget what AMD does to address this, and maybe we'll see some new stuff with that, and that will make its way maybe into the new consoles with some improvements. But yeah, the point that I was getting to was, per what you said, like, yeah, I care a lot less about 4K. What I care more about is if you're going to run at 2K on the Xbox Series X, which I paid $500 for, and of course on PS5, which are pretty close in power. What can you do at 2K that you've optimized? Usually for me, it's frame rate. Mm-hmm. Like, I want a more stable frame rate. So number one, you know, start there. And then number two, maybe it's, can I be 120 frames, or did you add in ray tracing? Because I don't care about 4K as much. So I hope that most, per what you're saying, they defer that. I hope that becomes the focus, you know, as resolution upscale improves, you know.
I've never asked you this, Fran, and like I know that we're like way behind at this point, but I'm curious. Do you usually go with performance modes or like graphics modes or resolution modes?
It depends on the game, but any action whatsoever is almost always performance mode. So God of War, which we'll talk about later, I tried both, and I was just like, you know, I'm definitely squinting at the differences. I used to run a feature many, many years ago at IGN that we had started called Head to Heads. And it was literally, it's funny, I knew Richard Ledbetter back then. It was comparing all the different versions and literally like trying to figure out how, you know, GameCube is different than Xbox. But yeah, squinting at the differences, usually I arrive at like, I want better frame rate. It just is sharper. There's less motion blur, usually. But occasionally, you know, some games where I don't feel like I need the action, I would be happy to switch. You know, if you got some really cool lighting, let's say you get ray tracing at 30 and you don't at 60. Well, it depends on the game. I might be up for that.
Yeah. I usually use performance mode if the frame rate is like relatively consistent. So like Kingdom Hearts 3 had performance mode that you're like, it was just everywhere. The frame rate was like 20 to 60, depending on like the moment. Yeah. So if that's the case, like I would take a lock 30 every time. Yeah. But if you can get to a lock 60 or at least 60-ish, then great. I'm fine.
Yeah. And you'll probably agree with me on this. When performance mode doesn't work right, you probably are saying you don't use it. Yeah. Is that kind of right?
Yes.
It's like
that's got to
like,
work well.
You turned it on, you took the cap off, but it's like all over the place. Like this, I kind of appreciate that it's there for some people who want it, but it's if it's not optimized, that kind of ruins the whole idea of it.
Yeah. All right, Fran, multiple Assassin's Creed series are in development at Netflix. This is from Steve Watts at GameSpot. Netflix has announced that it is working with Ubisoft on multiple adaptations of the Assassin's Creed series. Jason Altman and Daniel Kranick from Ubisoft's film and television division will serve as executive producers for the live-action adaptation, but it's still in the very early stages and seeking a showrunner. The announcement doesn't share much detail yet, merely saying that it will tap into the video game series' dynamic stories for live-action, animated, and anime series. Given the nature of Assassin's Creed, these could all be set during different historical eras. Netflix also shared a teaser feature video featuring the iconic Assassin logo in bright Netflix red. Quote, we're excited to partner with Ubisoft and bring to life rich, multi-layered storytelling that Assassin's Creed is beloved for, said Netflix original series VP Peter Friedlander in the announcement. From its breathtaking historical worlds and massive global appeal as one of the best-selling video game franchises of all time, we are committed to carefully crafting epic and thrilling entertainment based on this distinct IP, provide a deeper dive for fans and our members around the world to enjoy.
Can I translate that quote?
Go for it. You can translate that PR bullshit.
Hi, this is VP Peter Friedlander from Netflix Original Series Department. And man, Witcher made a ton of money. God, Witcher did so well. I mean, we knew video games had potential, but holy cow. So I tell you what, we went out as soon as possible and found the closest thing to it. Assassin's Creed seems like the next original series for us.
Don't you think? It does
not
seem
that
like a good
Assassin's
fit.
Is not probably it's been pitched for a long time. But yes. I feel like Witcher is what pushed this one over the edge, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. Like they especially with like the multifaceted like it's one thing to get a show. Like a Netflix show, they are always looking for original programming. But to get multiple things to be like, hey yeah, we're doing cartoons and I don't know what they're using for the term anime here, but they're doing an anime, they're doing a live action show. I think it fits a show much better than it fits a movie.
Yeah.
I feel real quick, I'm a big fan of Assassin's Creed, as you all may know. I feel like this is a perfect fit for it, because the way, like, I really hope that it's an anthology series that, like, someone jumping into their, like, ancestors' memories throughout time, that way you can keep the same actors, too. They all look a little alike. Little things that, like, either connect back to Abstergo or drop the whole Abstergo thing, and it's just someone like being like, "Oh, it's my family's like heritage," and going through stuff. I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah,
I think it's
a great fit,
like, Kevin. Like of the anthologies kind of thing with the same actors, like kind of like a Haunting of series thing. I think that would be super cool.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do we need multiple of these shows? Definitely not. You know what I mean? That's where they go too far.
You think it might be too many already?
I think so, but we'll see.
I think anytime anyone announces something that ambitious, it's like, it's not going to work out. Just focus on the one thing.
Yeah, usually you're right.
Nanobiologist wrote in, by the way, and wanted to say, like, he has a fairly longer question, but I will cut to the heart of it. Do you hope the series gives us looks at other areas of history besides, like, Ezio and that, in the guise of an assassin for smaller areas that may not translate well into a video game? So, like, where would you put this series, basically? Do you want it to cover, like, Italy and France and all that stuff again? Or is it going to be, like, this is the Russian Revolution this time? Or, you know...
Would that not translate well into a video game?
I don't know that it would. You could probably make a good Assassin's Creed game out of any period of time. It's just like they don't always.
I feel like maybe
the Revolutionary War. You mean?
Yeah, they did that one.
No, they did that one. They did that one.
I thought that's what you were getting at. Yeah. I was gonna say I think they almost have to be too careful to because. They're very unlikely going to recreate, right? I assume they're not going to bring back Ezio and that exact time period and try to do that story. I think they actually got to stay away from that probably and do, you know, do new things. Now, that's not to say that it couldn't be within the same time period, but completely different characters. But that's what I was going to ask is what does make Assassin's Creed a unique series? Because, like, I know Valhalla's coming out, but it's like, I really like the show Vikings. And I was like, oh, like that could have just been the show to me. I mean, I think you could add in a little bit of the Abstergo stuff, but like, what do you guys think actually makes it different than just being, say, Vikings?
I think it's a dichotomy between the future stuff and the history stuff. And like, I don't like that stuff in games, honestly. I don't like, they could write the future stuff out of Assassin's Creed completely, and I'd be completely fine with it. But I think if you're going to do a narrative show, I would put those two, like, together. What about you, yeah. Kevin? Okay, Kevin was...
Sorry. I was applauding you, and now I'm eating. My bad.
Well, it's fine.
To buy time on that, I was going to say a lot of people were joking in chat about a very old show called Quantum Leap.
I love Quantum Leap.
I mean, yeah. that's...
It does not hold up, but...
I don't know, man. I always, like, you might have been hitting on it. It always, those shows always feel a little off to me when you're trying to mix too much of those time periods. And even Assassin's Creed itself, like, you know, I haven't played all the games in every corner, but like they're predominantly in the time period you're in, you know?
Yeah. Quantum Leap works because, like, that's that was a weekly episodic show. And each week you can go like, okay, where is it going to be this time?
It's true.
When you're making a Netflix show, you have to reconsider how you do things.
Quantum Leap was different universes, right?
He was different people in the same.
Yeah, it was our universe. Oh, he was literally going back to like, but there wasn't like unrest in the 50s, and he'd show up in the middle of.
No.
Yeah. It was all based on our actual real world and those events. Like, I forget if he ever showed up around, like, the Kennedy assassination but he would show up.
That would be cool for like, the Assassin's Creed episode.
Maybe it's every week.
Yeah.
You're jumping.
And, like, I don't think they're going to do this, but they could do more serious things like that.
Yeah. But, like, you could have a decent drama that is, like, a person remembering their past life as well. Like, that seems easy enough, and that's also like every Netflix show, honestly, is somebody like, oh yeah, this is the episode about this character's past. So yeah.
Yeah.
I will say like they have been doing a lot more gaming stuff. Like they have those Resident Evil things now. Like a lot of it probably is based on the like Witcher success. I watched the Dragon's Dogma show. That show sucks. That show is awful. Like, so not holding my breath on this one, but we'll see. Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night is heading to iOS and Android. This is from Matt Olson at US Gamer. Want to turn your phone or Android device into a pseudo Castlevania machine for all the trips you're probably not taking these days? Able to soon. ArtPlay and NetEase Games just announced that Koji Igarashi's Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night is coming to the App Store and Google Play Store soon. The mobile versions of Ritual of the Night will support new to Bloodstained touchscreen controls and will feature a redesigned user interface that's better suited for small screens and thumb scrolling. Don't expect too much else in the way of a redesign for mobile. It'll be the Ritual of the Night, you know, not a carved out freemium experience. ArtPlay and NetEase have yet to announce the price of the release. Bloodstained will launch for iOS and Android, quote, soon, trailing a ways behind the original release for Xbox One, PS4, and PC in June 2019, and the Switch debut that followed just a week later. Originally published for those systems by 505 Games, Bloodstained's new publisher for mobile, NetEase, is best known stateside for operating Chinese localized versions of Blizzard games and for its recent investments in Bungie and Quantic Dream. Did you play Bloodstained, Fran?
Yeah, I played some of it. I didn't beat it or anything, but it's pretty solid.
It's an enjoyable game. I really wish I had not backed the Switch version. I think the Switch version
because
is just
the performance issues.
Yeah, it was real bad. And like, to this day, I think that's one of the most cynical things I've ever seen a publisher do, is the Switch version, a week is not enough time to work on anything. A week is not enough time to like push out, make a version better. So that they delayed it a week was 100% that they wanted early review, like original reviews and Metacritic score to be about the PS4 and Xbox One version.
Yes.
And like the Switch version is like, oh, also this is out. And that I think sucked, especially because they've
under the rug.
Yeah. They locked people into buying it for the backing, but yeah,
yep.
It's cool that games on mobile. I have been playing more mobile gacha games recently for whatever reason, and there's actually surprisingly deep experiences you can get on that phone that I'm shocked work as well as they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how far mobile gaming has come, but it's just gaming now, and so if you're cool with the touch screen stuff, and a lot of people, there's just that adaptation, and then it feels like it's muscle memory. It doesn't even occur to you that you need a controller and buttons for some people who frankly are now growing up playing that way, but also just making it feel like that, right, where there's not features cut and everything yeah. works fine and is intuitive. Developers have learned so much about what they can do as well. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. Hopefully it performs, you know, well across the board. I mean, obviously on new phones, they're pretty powerful at this point. So
yeah, I'm very curious when my iPhone X is going to be like, phased out basically, or it's going to be too old for certain games. Like that doesn't yeah. feel old. It's a 3-year old phone, but who knows? Planned obsolescence is 100% a thing.
Yeah. Well, actually, look, I'm still waiting because I had the X and I broke it. And now I'm on the iPhone 7 Plus waiting for my new 12 Pro. But meaning maybe we can get this one and compare notes and see if we notice any differences or something.
I'm thinking about trading for a 12 Pro, but we'll see. Like, I don't think I need the bigger or better.
I don't think you do. I was like, unless you want the camera, there's probably not a major reason to switch.
Or maybe just the 12. Or I might just hang on to my phone for another year. We'll see what happens.
God, there's so many options this year.
It's ridiculous. It's
absurd. Always God of, whenever you can.
The God of War developer at Sony Santa Monica explains PS5 performance mode and save transfer system Logan Plant at IGN. Sony Santa Monica has revealed new details about how God of War 2018 will work on PS5. In a tweet, the God of War developer said the PS4 title can run up to 60 frames per second if players choose the favorite performance video option. And save transfers are supported from the PS4, so players don't have to worry about losing their standard or new game plus save. Sony Santa Monica has confirmed God of War 3 Remastered saves will transfer to PS5. On PS4, God of War targeted 30 frames per second when it was released and also included performance mode options for those playing on PS4 Pro. The favorite performance mode had a cap of 60 FPS on PS4 Pro, but in our God of War review, we said the game didn't consistently hit that target. Sony confirmed last month that almost every PS4 game will be available on playable on PS5. However, the ability to transfer save data to the next generation will be up to individual developers. So they tweeted this. I read the story, and after reading it a couple of times, I'm like, are they actually doing anything, or is this just
BC? I had the
BC?
Same reaction. I was like, this is the most non-news, but thank you for the confirmation. I did appreciate the confirmation, but I was like, it already runs pretty well in performance mode. So
like, couldn't they give us
a little more? Like, it runs almost perfect 60.
Yeah, like, I don't know, is this something they've done? Like, have they gone back into this game and done something with it? Or is this just like the overhead from the PS5 working like better on God of War?
So it sounds to me more the latter. Like they had to touch a few things, barely, it sounds like. And they're like, cool, it's working pretty well.
Yeah.
And they didn't seem willing to commit to, like I was just saying, like a number or it's too bad though, because like they have all the details. That's what I'd be looking for. It's like, hey, by the way, you may not have known, but PS4 Pro performance mode, you were getting like 60 sometimes. A lot of time though, it was like 50, you know, mostly. So this is going to be pretty much 60. And do like just a few more details, if that's what it is, would have been nice. But
that said,
we know it's going to run better. I mean, there's no way it can't.
I do want to try God of War on a PS5 because like God of War is the high mark, I think. For my PS4 Pro is too loud. I have to actually like put on headphones because I can't hear the game over this. So if I run this game, it's like, oh, there's no like insane fan noise coming from it. Then that's a good sign, not necessarily like a definitive sign, but a good sign for how that PS5 is heated.
Yeah, and honestly, the game still just looks amazing. And yeah, especially if you're playing at, didn't it run at 2K as well? So I forget if performance mode did. I think maybe performance mode was.
I think it was a resolution mode and a performance mode. And
yeah, maybe that's
1080p.
So exactly, like maybe you can get both. Run at 2K. I don't know. See, they didn't say that, so it makes me think probably not. But I don't. The part that's bothering us both. Why couldn't we get a few more details on this?
Maybe they'll sell God of War Remastered with God of War Ragnarok. Who knows?
Yeah, down the road, I would love if they did a full like Spider-Man type treatment, but I know it's a lot of work. So,
speaking of going back and changing things in old games, Super Mario 3D All-Stars will add inverted camera options in November. So, Jordan Allman at IGN, this Super Mario 3D All-Stars collection will add inverted camera controls in a future update coming in November, following fan complaints. Confirmed in a tweet from Nintendo of Europe Twitter account, we see pictures of the inverted camera options in the settings menu for Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy. Update version 1.1.0 will be added on November 17th. It includes options to invert the camera both in third and first person mode separately. Inverted camera controls have been requested by fans ever since the game launched without them. This is a welcome addition for Nintendo fans. It baffles me this game launched without this.
Yeah.
That like, because like, originally these games were reversed, that like they were inverted, I should say, that like I play inverted, so like up is down, down is, that kind of thing. When you go change the, they change them back for the 3D collection to, I think, what is the more common majority when people play is like just standard controls, but they did not have an option to flip it back. So Sunshine, which is a game mostly about aiming, was impossible for me to play because I just could not, like, I couldn't, I've tried to do this, like, my hand just will not do a non-inverted control scheme. I've had to give up on game demos because, like, hey, you guys didn't put an inverted option in yet. I, this is not working for me.
Wow.
You don't think you can get better?
I don't think it was getting better. I think that's just the way my brain works. Is that like,
but like we can fix it. You know what I mean?
The you thing just gotta is, stick with it, but yeah.
I can tell you, I can trace it back exactly to where this happened. Is
we have a little squirt bottle we shoot Nick with. If you want, I can come over. We can do the same thing.
Like when I was in high school doing the morning show, I was on cameras, and we had those like big cameras that like you had the handlebars that you had to like pull down or pull up. And like that is like, that is where the inverted part of my brain just started. Is that when I want to move the camera up, I pull the handles down. And like, I can't change from that now. That's just how I play.
I get like a water gun, maybe a little bit stronger.
I think theoretically, if I only played like standard from here on out, like for the next couple of years, then yes, it would be like, oh yeah, what?
I believe in you. I believe in you.
It's funny. I don't think it would take you that long, but it would take you a good couple weeks, maybe three of like playing games that are the one way and sticking with it because like I have a feeling you're like, I'm not playing this. This sucks.
I get it though.
So like, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, by the way. If you want to play inverted, well, I mean, it should be an option. You think something's
wrong, though. Yeah, you know what I mean? It ain't right. It's like left-handed people. No, thank you.
That's always been the thing that I've like... Wow. People get weirdly heated about inverted versus standard, but the only people who get heated are the people who play standard. They're like, no, inverted is wrong. And inverted people are like...
Yeah, because you guys are ashamed, right? Like, you guys are sitting there. Like, that's why no one here was like, I'm left-handed. It's like, everyone is right-handed or they're
wrong. I did say wow.
Yeah, you said wow, but you didn't mean it.
I did mean it. Left-handed people are usually like the more creative types, obviously. And
there's that's all pseudoscience, people. You know what I mean? That's all pseudoscience. Really.
It's very common.
That's very pseudoscience. I've looked into it.
Well, okay. There's plenty of right-handed artists, but yeah, I was gonna say I went through this a long time ago. You know, switching from N64 in particular, probably getting more into, you know, shooters on PC and stuff like that, and eventually making the console switch where that was not going to be the option where it. It happened, you know, but I know how uncomfortable it was. It was literally, it is. It's brain breaking. Like you're literally dealing with something that up and down are reversed in your brain. And that is not something that is like minor. That's a huge issue. So it just takes a while. It's like people are always asking me like, yo, I'm going to mouse and keyboard, like any tips, you know, and I'm always like, you just have to play it. It's going to feel so uncomfortable at first. Like your pinky hitting the control key to crouch seems like just crazy at first. And it's kind of like, you know, not everybody can play instruments, but I'm like, you could play something basic on piano or guitar if you stuck with it for several weeks, but it's going to feel like crap at first.
So. Yeah. Which, I mean, as long as there's options, it's good. And it baffled me that Mario took this long to add options and it didn't have it to begin with.
That's
that,
the like, real story.
Yeah.
Is and how Nintendo, of all people, did not have this option included. It's kind of
aren't
crazy.
They not great with, like, people, like, accommodating for people's needs?
No, they have very low accessibility ratings. Yeah. Like, I recall it was, like, Splatoon in particular was, like, one of those that people called out of, like, this is just impossible to play for people with, like, that are... have issues using a controller.
Yeah.
So, I'm not shocked this is a problem for them, but it's at least they're fixing it getting, in like 4 weeks.
But when did this game come out?
This is September, mid-September?
Okay.
Mid-September,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So at least it was a couple months, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny because when I first read it too, Kev, you might have been thinking, I thought it was Super Mario 3D.
Right, that, All-Stars, yeah.
At first. And then I was like, wait, they're going back. Oh, right, All-Stars.
All right, we got a quick hit here. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot has a card game that will appear today. The patch comes out. Basically, Dragon Ball Kakarot added Gwent for some reason. So now you can go around and you can challenge people in card games that are just, it's based on Dragon Ball. They had a full trailer. You could check it out if you want to. I kind of like like skimmed it. I don't know why this is happening like nearly a year after it's been released. That is my assumption.
I'm guessing, but I don't
know. Is there card rarity, so I assume they sell them.
How high could the player base be? I feel like it was a great game. It was a great game, but like who's still in there that's gonna get the most out of this, you know?
I kind of wonder if this is like another game they were working on the side, and then they're like, okay, this separate project isn't working, just throw it into Kakarot, and like that's it. But who knows? I assume they're also working on New Zealand or something. And also, we got a required reading here. The Phil Spencer did a video or an interview with GameReactor.eu, and you guys can check that out. I think Kevin will put the URL in the description, but you can go to the site and they have it there. It's a really interesting interview. They talk about exclusivity, they talk about monetization, they talk about game development. There's some interesting answers there about where he thinks about putting games on the Switch in the future, what he thinks the next big game for Xbox will be. It's like he simply mentioned that he's looking forward to Compulsion's next game and like the Initiative game that we don't know about, but it's probably Perfect Dark of some sort. So yeah, go check that one out.
Yeah, even talks about Bethesda, the Fiat topic. So,
Imran, when are we going to find out what that game is?
The Initiative game?
Yeah.
I would assume sometime. I think... I would guess, this is speculation, that plans to reveal it were probably scuttled by Halo being delayed. Because you don't want one to overshadow the other. So I would guess if we have an E3 or whatever the E3 equivalent is next year, then it will be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But E3 is so far away. If I wanted to know what's coming to the mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. And Imran, as many people in the chat have noticed, that was me setting you up for that transition there.
Nice. Good. You know what, Kevin? You're going to get your gold star early. Go for it.
Fuck you, Fran. You said it was impossible. Impossible. But here we are. Oh, wow. This is not working.
Oh, wow. That's pretty solid. Why is it so low?
Why is it so?
Kevin?
I don't know. That's weird.
Kevin duplicated himself in the resolution, bro. That's actually kind of awesome. And it, by the way, it gets worse at the very right. It's like totally broken.
Damn it. I've been working on this for a long time. And I was going to have the Legion of Kevin tell you to fuck off.
It's like you're disassembling. Like you can't stay together.
And you're going to give this man stars? Oh, man. Look
See,
at
the problem.
What a fail.
They should have limited the amount of stars that Games Daily hosts can give. Because if it were up to me, I would have just given Kevin all the stars that one day, but that would have killed the bit. So we kept it going.
That would have been now a new Kevin better bit. I could have gotten two pizza parties.
Kevin, please
know?
Just go back to the normal you. This is
why is it so
eyes.
Broken?
Yeah.
That's great. Out today, Dungrees on a PS4 and Switch. Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 4 is out on PS4. Star Wars Episode 1 Racer is out on Xbox One. Karto is out on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. I played that a couple of years ago at Day of the Devs, I think. Like that's really cute. Like nice little Wind Waker vibes, very chill. Ghost Runner, which I'm very excited about, is on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Oddworld New and Tasty is out on Switch. Cobra Kai, The Karate Kid Saga Continues on a PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. That show was good. People should watch that on
Netflix. The show was good. I'm like, what the heck is this game?
Probably not great. I'm going to assume pretty terrible.
Should we look it up? Should we look it up?
I was looking it up right now. Yo, there's a trailer, Kev. Definitely.
All right. I'm on okay. It.
It's just play CobraKai.com. Check it out.
Instant Chef Party is out on Switch. My Universe is out on My Universe Fashion Boutique is out on Switch. Blue Coats North and South is out on Switch. Hammerting is out on PC. The cunning and legendary terrifying Iwakta Panther joins the world of Red Dead Online this week, as well as an assortment of Halloween bonuses, seasonal rewards, and bevy of discounts. Kevin, before we get that trailer, I want to quickly hit ads.
You're in charge of this boat. What? Oh, it's queued, but we don't have to. We can wait.
Let's quickly hit ads because we're running low. I want to hit those before we get to the hour. All right. Today's episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by, prepare for your Alexas because they're about to go off, Amazon Alexa. I am always looking for ways to make my life easier. We are juggling too much, so the ability to offload even the smallest tasks can make a difference. One convenience that I can't believe I lived without, smart bulbs connected to Alexa. And right now, Amazon Alexa is offering a special smart lighting bundle to our listeners. Kinda Funny loves Amazon Alexa and their smart lighting. Blessing has been using Alexa as smart light since his move. It was easy to set up, easy to use, and makes his life way easier. With the Amazon smart lighting bundle, you can turn your home into a smart home in just minutes. Setup is easy and you don't need any extra equipment. Just connect your new smart bulb to the Echo Dot and you're all set. Set every possible mood with over 16 million light colors to choose from. Or control the lights in your home with the sound of your voice. Just say, Alexa, turn on the lights. You can also set the lighting routines to gently wake you up in the morning, help you wind down at night, or completely turn off at a certain time. Right now, you can get 20% off your Amazon Smart Lighting Bundle only at amazon.com/KFGames. Every bundle includes an Echo Dot smart speaker and a Sing LED color-changing light bulb. That's 20% off at amazon.com/KFGames. But hurry, this offer ends October 31st, amazon.com/KFGames. We're also brought to you by Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone's looking for a way to feel more financially secure. If you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time you find out about how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or diploma to apply. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept that rate and proceed with your application. The best part, if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star ratings on Trustpilot and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking the rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. We're finally brought to you by Hims. ForHims.com is all about men's wellness. We all know the story. Andy and Nick wanted to maintain their own wellness, so they looked to Hims for help keeping their hair healthy and full. We can confirm they've been loving it ever since. Through Hims, you can get your prescription medication that treats erectile dysfunction. Real science, real solutions. This thing costs hundreds of bucks if you had to go through a doctor or pharmacy. Not so with Hims. Hims make it simple and affordable. No embarrassing conversations, no expensive appointments. Just answer a few questions online about your medical history. The provider will confidentially review. If approved, your medication is shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging, and shipping is free. No more searching online for answers to questions about erectile dysfunction or sexual wellness. Just go to your Hims account and ask a medical professional you can trust. For Hims, or try Hims by starting out with a free online visit. Go to forhims.com/funnygames for your free visit. That's forhims.com/funnygames. forhims.com/funnygames. Prescription products are subject to medical provider approval and require an online consultation with a medical provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and information. Remember, that's forhims.com/funnygames. All right, Kevin, we're back. We're going to go check out this trailer.
Is Kevin back?
Kevin. Oh, no.
This is like a... This is not the trailer. What is Kevin doing?
Do you read it? Do you see it? What it says? It says official game reveal. Did you want to watch
this? Oh, yeah. I saw a different one. I can't believe it's starting with the show.
Well, I mean, I could switch over to whatever trailer you watched. There it is.
Oh, wow. This looks like shit.
You should be careful of the music, too, Kevin, right? Come on. I don't know. You know. You want to do this? Let's go.
If you want to,
okay, this is not the this is,
yeah,
it's not the trailer you want.
No, it is. It wasn't the one I saw. Interesting,
I see.
Does the one you saw also look like shit? Because this kind
so go keep playing. There we go. It keeps cutting the show. Wow, all right.
This looks like the KOF gotcha I play, but like a billion times worse.
It's funny because when I first saw it, I was like, this is almost like Fatal Fury art style with like it's Double Dragon sort of, I guess. Like, so I don't know, whatever.
I feel like I'm learning a lot about what happened after the movie.
You should watch this show.
No, it's on my list. I'm going to watch it.
You haven't watched the two seasons?
No, I'm going to watch it.
Because they're doing season three and four, which I'm sure you know. And four, I believe. I think there's two.
Yeah.
Great show. I had heard a lot about it too, Kev. I was like, yeah, I'll get around to it. But actually, like, if you were a fan of, you know, the first few, at least, original movies, it's a riot.
Yeah.
Quiet!
All right, so moving on. We're talking about new dates now. This Friday, South of the Circle is coming out on Apple Arcade. Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, beginning November 3rd, through a limited time only, fans will have the opportunity to use the all-new Godzilla skin, available to players for 10 crowns total. Madden NFL and FIFA 21 are available December 4th on next generation consoles. Everything costs crowns. Like, that is the economy now, and it's, like, inflating.
I'm so bad. I'm so bad at the game. Like, I don't have a single crown. I never will.
At some point, there needs to be, like, a reckoning of the economy of that game, because if you just want, like, say, Sonic and Godzilla because you like those two things, it's going to cost you, like, a hefty amount of crowns, more than most people probably have. Deals of the day. Amazon and Best Buy have Judgment for $15 if you're looking for a modern Yakuza game without all the baggage of continued story and characters. That's a good one to check out. It's also the first one with an English dub. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free, and we just read the ads. So let's go right into the question. Nanobiologist, again, shows up for the third time this the show. Hey, Infran, what's up with getting a game, or what goes into getting a game approved for a console? Does approving a game for a console require a full playthrough normally? Do the games change when it comes to indie and big AAA developers? Thanks, Nanobiologist. We answered a little bit about this with the Cyberpunk stuff, but basically it varies depending on the platform. Nintendo and Sony are a bit more strict. It depends. Like, usually what happens is you will submit a bug list along with a build of the game. Somebody will check out those bugs on the certification side, and they might go, oh, this is acceptable. Or what will happen in the case of larger games, like, let's say, hypothetically, a Bethesda and a Fallout, they'll say, yeah, these bugs are here, but we're going to fix it by launch, so just go ahead and cert it.
Yeah. I think that's a good sum up. Obviously, the notoriety is going to help a little bit if you've already published some stuff or you have a publisher, somebody that's, in other words, if you just made a game, you know, and a lot of indie games have made it to Switch, but if you have never submitted one before, that's going to probably be a lot harder than had you submitted some before.
Yeah. I said third time for Nano. I actually meant second time. But now it's time for Squad Up. We got a longer squad up here. So Mark Freeman, who is squatting up for a Twitch or the community Zoom. And so he writes, so we have a very special community Zoom this weekend. We are celebrating Halloween and the wedding of Robbie, Rob, and Stella. And it will be taking place from Saturday from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific on Saturday. This will mostly be the normal community Zoom with silly questions among us and maybe some ghost stories. However, we are encouraging people to wear their fancy dress, either a costume or dress smartly. Then at 3 p.m., we will be doing a watch-along of the wedding, after which we will resume the normal Zoom. Later, at 6 p.m., we will be joining the wedding reception on Stella's Animal Crossing Island. These are always great fun, so please come hang out with the best friends if you can. All the details are on his Twitter account at @theindieboy1, the number one, in his pinned tweet. Alternatively, if you just want to watch, you can go to twitch.tv/RobbieRobPlays. Happy Halloween from Mark Freeman. So go check that out. Squad up and go check out a wedding. Weddings in quarantine time, very difficult. So let's check out your wrong, that's awesome. Like what we've gotten wrong over the course of the show.
Oof. I'm sure there's something in there.
Oh, I'm sure plenty. The game I was thinking of that did not work off the disc alone was Rainbow Six Siege, which makes sense. It's an online-only game. It does have single player. That's true. It does have single player modes. So yeah, it did not work if you just put the disc in. I'm not seeing a whole lot else that we got wrong. Fran, they're taking you to task about the 2K stuff.
What about it?
Fran, for the last 3 weeks, you made the mistake. 2K is 1080. 2048 times 1080 in film. 1920 times 1080 is standard monitor resolution. Is it reference to horizontal resolution, not the number of
pixels? Yeah, I thought so.
Hence, 4K being 3840 times 2160.
I thought
so. Wait, what is 1440 short term then? Because I thought it was acceptably
referred
to as 2K.
But I do think that it's wrong.
Yeah, because 1080 is not. So the latter half, right, 1920 by 1080 is 1080. pee, and so on between all of those. And there's UHD and true 4K and all that. And you're right, there's differences. But I thought that. And I accept that I'm wrong. I thought the whole time that it was acceptable that 1440 was also referred to.
Look, Brand, follow your star. Use whatever terms you want to use. They'll understand what you mean.
Is it Q? Is it WQHD? See, this is where it gets very confusing. I'm going to look this up.
So 4K is 4K and 2K.
No, let's look it up right
2K.
Now.
Yeah, look it up. Look it up, tough guy. I mean, it won't change you from being wrong.
No. I want to know what is the short term then for 2K.
This is so I had this working, and now it's not working. You know, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it bumping down my resolution? Is it too much for the computer, I wonder?
I could see that being reasonable. Like, Discord video calls take a lot of weird processing power.
But yeah, wait. And then the part that's confusing me is, because this is where this came from, right, is... Xbox.
I love the wave, Kevin. That's great. Actually.
Yeah, Xbox is referring to Xbox Series S as 2K, right? Right.
No, they're referring to it as like 4K to. I feel like there's 8K on the box, but
yeah, but no, they're saying Xbox Series S will be 2K.
No, there's 2K is 1080p, which is
no, it is not. And that's where I have a firm disagreement on it. That is the firm disagreement I will have. Nobody in their life of video games, we're not talking about watching movies.
Chat is
nobody
saying
in video games is going to tell you that 1080p is 2K.
Chat is saying 1440p is 2K.
Yeah. Y'all are out of your mind if that's what you're trying
According
to get.
According to these graphics that I'm looking at, 1440 is just very slightly bigger.
Yeah, this is when you get into like these little terms. But look, the simple fact is let's not confuse the audience. When Xbox.
The audience is the one correcting us.
Like, yeah, they're saying you're wrong.
But there's people listening that are now totally baffled. My point is that Xbox is not out here telling you that Xbox Series S will run at 1080p. They're telling you it will be 1440 by saying it's 2K. Right?
Mizuki is telling us to read Wikipedia, and no, reading Wikipedia will ruin this podcast. We're going to be wrong, and you're going to correct us, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, that is what you're wrong is for. If we get it right ourselves, then it's like... We totally ruined the you're wrong aspect of the show.
It's just so weird because it's 720, right? And then you have 1080, right? And then 2K, which is now it's grabbing from the other side. So the resolutions are as follows, right? 1280 by 720, and that's where we get the 720. Mm-hmm. 1920 by 1080. But then when it comes to 2K, it's 2560 by 1440. Why does it switch sides? And then
wait, what switch sides?
Because we're grabbing
like from horizontal pixel count. Like
yeah, to the
probably wherever you're reading. It shouldn't have.
No, that's where you get that number from. That's where the two comes from.
Oh,
2K.
You're saying where do they? That's
I guess.
Know if it,
well,
I
no, I hear. You know what it is.
Kevin,
you know what it is,
Kevin.
You know,
I think that's
no. It's not coincidence. I just figured it out. It's the when it's 1080p. That's talking about the right side, right?
Yeah,
and when it's a K part. 2K, 4K, 8K, that's all on the left side. That's all the vertical. Because 4K is
no,
3,
because 4K, is, 3, 8, 4K is literally 4,000. It's like 4 times 1080p.
No, but listen, hold on. It's not, though. Right? It's not. It's 3,840 by 2160.
Also, Kevin, I love the way your mind works that vertical is left and horizontal is right.
It's just the way I'm looking at it. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. Tomorrow's hosts are Greg and Gary Whitta. We're going to drop off here because we've been extending too long and I'm sure they're getting mad at us.
Mm-hmm. Wait, just all right. There's nothing else after this. It's Andy playing.
But don't we have a post show?
Assassin's Creed.
Well, we got to do that. Yeah. We can argue about this a post show. Let's do that because I have no post show prepared. So,
oh, perfect. I'll bring up images and stuff. Oh, I'm going to earn myself a star.
This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run news through the nerdy news you need to know about. We got a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at silver level at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Until next time.